This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
Some of us, you know, honestly, we come from all different kinds of families. Things have happened in our lives, things that God never planned to happen or never wanted to happen, but they happened. Okay, and so then that label comes on you as the abused one. Anybody can identify with that? Abuse can come in all different kinds of ways. Verbal abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse. It has many forms. It's ugly. It's violent. It goes all the way to your core. And God never intended for any of his creation to be abused. Never. And I'm sorry, but I do see that this generation is fatherless and sometimes even motherless. Maybe they were present in the home, but they weren't present in your life. And I apologize for that, because I know that God always intended for you to be loved your whole life from beginning to end. But you know what I can tell you tonight? That he is a father to the fatherless. He is the ultimate daddy you could ever have. The best one. The one that always thinks the best of you at all times. He doesn't look at your outward, he looks at your inward. So that's what's important to him. But many of us have come into life and have suffered abuse. And usually what comes right after that is rejection. I'll just have you help me. Being rejected really hits you on the core of your being, because it starts to whittle away at your identity as a person. And it just seems like once it happens either to the from the most important people in your life, then that pattern or that cycle begins to be repeated in your friends, in your teacher, in your boss, in your peers, and you just start going through life, and you just seems like there's this rejection wall or this sign all right across your head, reject me, reject me, and then you just start experiencing the fact that you actually are expecting people to reject you, because that cycle has started in your life. So we're going to undo that cycle tonight. That's what a part of tonight is, to undo all these things that have happened. Then you start to feel this way, unwanted. Unwanted. Like nobody wants me. And then those sayings, those phrases start to go through your mind. Nobody wants me. I've been rejected. Nobody likes me. I've been abused. Why did this happen to me? Why does it always happen to me? Why does it keep happening to me? I am unwanted. Then sometimes what that leads to, if you are married, it can lead to divorce. So then you actually become labeled the divorced one. Oh, she's the divorced. Oh, my friend, she's divorced. See how we put labels on people so quickly? It's like we can't just let people be people. We have to categorize them in order for other people to identify what they're like or what they're going through. And so you have this label, all these labels, divorced, unwanted, rejected, and here we go, abandoned. Feel like nobody's there for me, nobody wants me. Maybe the people that were the closest in your life just walked out of your life. I have a young girl in my youth group right now. Her mom just walked out, her senior year, just walked out of the house and left her to live with her dad. She doesn't know why. I can't understand that, a mother's heart toward her child. I can't fathom that. But here I am seeing it happen right in front of me in my youth group. And she's experienced feelings of abandonment that she should never have had to experience the senior year of her life. So things happen, but there's an answer. I'm sorry, you're going to be set free tonight, girlfriend. I promise you. So then what happens is we become victimized. And we see ourselves as the victim that's always, from this day on, going to be labeled the unloved, the unwanted, the rejected, the abused, the divorced. You know, that nobody will ever come back into my life and love me again. Or what you do is become the victim, or you turn it around, and I've seen this happen many times in my church and young girls that I've ministered to. They just start to lash back at life and men and get an attitude towards men, and then they just start using them. And I've seen women that were so tender, sweet, and dear get this bitter, hard shell on them, and now no man from this day forward is going to hurt me. No man is going to ever do that to me again. And so then they just go out and they just start to deceive men. And they actually become the adulterous woman or the fornicating woman. And she's very, very deceived. And she's a deceiver as well, because she's acting like she loves or she's going to love. But then she just starts this pattern, destructive pattern in her life, where she's a deceiver and she's opening doors, opening hearts, but then she crushes and she brings turmoil and bitterness towards these other relationships in her life. There's a man in the Bible that was actually known as the deceiver. His name was Jacob. In the book of Genesis 32, there's a story about Jacob. Remember Jacob and the two brothers, and he was grabbing his heel, and he came out, and then he tricked his dad to give him the blessing because he put fur gloves on his arms, and he smelled like his brother, and his dad couldn't see, so he blessed him and gave him the first blessing of the firstborn. And then when his brother came home, he'd already been blessed. And, you know, it was just, he was known as the schemer, the trickster, the deceiver. And that's what his label was. But one day, he began to contend for something different in his life. He fully repented for his actions. He knew he had done wrong, and he wanted to go back to his brother and make things right. But he had all these labels on him, and he felt, I don't know if he's going to receive me. I don't know if he's going to kill me. I don't know if he's going to just chop off my head when he sees me. But I know I have got to go back to him. But before he did, he contended a whole night for a change in his life. So that's what I'm believing for tonight. And you prayed that tonight, that this women of this house would contend for a change of nature in your life. And you really have to get like a bulldog. Like, I'm not going to wear these labels any longer. This is no longer going to define who I am. My actions or my past or the things that have happened to me or the things that I have done, the doors that I have opened, doors. Many of us open doors with our eyes, doors with our ears, listening to things, listening to words, listening to music, listening to responses from other people towards us. Many of us open our eyes to things that begin to affect us in a very deep way. And our eyes are gates. Our ears are gates. And so when you open those doors, you have to shut those doors, or the effect of those things continue on in your life. So we're going to do that tonight. We're going to shut some doors. We're going to shut some doors. And they're going to be forever shut, so that you don't have to relive those things any longer in your life. This is what Jacob did. He says he contended all night for a change. I'm going to read it just a little bit, because the word of God has honor in our life, and I want to read it exactly how it says it. Genesis 32. If you have your Bible, you can turn there, or you can just listen with me. And verse is 32:26. And then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you declare a blessing upon me." Then the man asked, "What is your name?" I'm asking you tonight, what is your label? Labels. What are the labels that are on your life that you want to get rid of tonight? What's the one word that keeps running through your mind all the time? You know, I personally was a very chunky little kid growing up. All the time I struggled with my weight. I still do. But I labeled myself fat and ugly whenever I thought, Kim, fat and ugly. Kim, fat and ugly. I always thought, whenever I looked in the mirror, Kim, fat and ugly. That was one of my labels. And so I was kind of funny when I was little, because I was trying to make up for my fat and ugly. So I became comical. Anybody done that? To get the picture of people looking at me, they were just, oh, she's so funny. She's not fat and ugly. She's funny. So we even put labels on ourselves. That's dangerous, because those are not from the Spirit of God. Those are not, they're usually from the pit of hell, trying to hold us captive and dictate how we're going to live our lives. So Jacob, here he is, the The man asked him, "What is your name?" And in the shock of realizing, he said, "Jacob. My name is Jacob, surplanter, schemer, trickster, swindler, deceiver." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but from this day on you shall be Israel, contender with God." And so he contended for a change. He's like, "I'm not leaving this place until I get a change." That's that bulldog tenacity. You know, and women, we have that. We do. You know when it comes out. You know, when he leaves the socks on the floor and you're like, "Pick those up," you know, or your kids don't do their homework or whatever. You haven't paid the bill on time. You know, that thing comes out of you and you start to just, you know, you're contending. Well, I want you to contend for yourself tonight that you want to change in your life, that you don't want to leave here the same way you came in, that you want to be set free from every label that man or yourself or life has put on you. That's what we're about tonight. Are you with me? It's okay to say amen. Are you out there? Okay. So Jacob said this, "For you will no longer be called Jacob. You will be called Israel. For you have contended and have power with God and with men and have prevailed." And then Jacob asked him, "Tell me, I pray you, what is the contrast of your name?" He said, "Why do you ask me my name?" And he said, "Angel of the Lord, declare a blessing on me." And Jacob called the place Peniel, the place where he said, "I have seen God face to face." That's what I'm believing for you tonight. That you, when you close your eyes, you would not see fat and ugly. You would not see deceiver. You would not see abused girl. You would not see divorced, fornicator, loose, whatever. Depressed, suicidal. When you close your eyes, you would not see those words, but you would see woman of God, blessed by God, worthy of God, precious and valuable to Him. That you would see yourself the way He sees you, through His eyes. That's what I'm believing for tonight. So he called that place the place Peniel, where God and him met face to face. Labels. Labels that the world gives us. Labels that we don't even deserve sometimes. Most of the time we don't deserve them. Sometimes our actions do set us up for those labels. But we can change all that through the power of Jesus and the Redeemer. Because you know what? There's a name that is above all names. And his name is Jesus. A name that is above all names. And when you receive him, you receive his nature. And he says, "I don't just make you better, I make you brand new. I take out the old and I put in the new. I give you my nature." So therefore, the righteousness of Jesus moves in and my darkness moves out at that moment that we receive him. If you haven't received him, tonight will be a great night to do that. Just get that out of the way. So you can receive all that you need and deserve and he wants to give you freely. His nature, the ability to live right. You know, some people come to me and they say, "God, it's so hard to live holy." You know, especially if you've been to college, you've been out there, all the guys, and they're all good looking and, you know, they're all hitting on me and it's just hard to live right. No, when you get the nature of God in you, you get his righteousness. His ability to live right moves on the inside of you. That's a cool thing. Because it's not about you, it's about him and realizing who moved in on that day. So every one of us have a story through our circumstances, through events, situations, through the mom, the dad, the aunt, the uncle, the cousins that we had. Labels are placed on us, but he wants us to be free. Just like Jacob, he contended for a change. He was tenacious. He was like a bulldog. He's like, "I got to get this. I got to get free from this nature. I don't want to be this way anymore. I don't want to respond to life like this anymore. I don't want to go down this path anymore. I don't want to be known for this. I want a nature change." He contended for that with all of his heart. And God gave him his change. And he was no longer known as deceiver, schemer, trickster, liar. He was no longer known for the label that was placed on him. Another label that is often on us is unloved. We feel, so many people in today's society, they feel unloved. If I was to have you raise your hand, I know most of you in this room would say at some time you have felt very alone, very abandoned, very rejected, very unloved and unwanted. But that's not the nature of Jesus and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is full acceptance in the beloved, not based on what I've done, but based on what he did. And because of that, I can come before his throne with joy. I have the right to be there. I don't have to knock on the door and act timid. You know, God, can I talk to you? No, he's like, come in, my beloved. That's how he looks at it. He's like, you have a right to come into my presence and ask whatever you will according to my will for you in my son's name, and I will give you all that you ask. That is his nature. He loves you like that. So he says, I want you to look at me for a second, because I pretend like this is a courtroom. Let me back up just a little bit. The enemy is a deceiver, and he's an accuser, right? The enemy he's actually called the accuser of the brethren. He loves to accuse you. He loves to point out, make you feel guilty. And the guilt is like his playground. If he can make you feel shameful or guilty, it just piles on you, and you just feel like, I can't get out, I can't get out, I can't be better. I can't, it's too much. I've done too much, so why try to live right when I've done so much bad? And see, that's just a lie from the pit of hell, right? So Jesus, the name above all names, came in, and he said, I'm going to change your label. So when his spirit moves in, something takes place. Okay, we're going to do this one last. Okay? So he comes in and he changes the name of the deceiver to what? The spirit of truth. Now you operate in truth. And I apologize for my artwork here. I had it in Spanish. I brought my wrong ones. Anyway, the spirit of truth. So that everything you do, it's from that platform of being true to yourself and true to God, true integrity. Because when you live from that place, guilt cannot come upon you. Because everything you're doing, yeah, just leave it on. And we're just going to flip them. It's all right. Okay? Like that. So the spirit of truth is now, she operates from this place in her life. No longer lying to herself, no longer deceiving herself to think she's trash. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Abandon. He changes that one and says, I will never leave you. I will never leave you. I can't see too well. So back up a little bit. He says, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. I love in the Amplified version, it says, he will never relax his hold on you. Isn't that cool? I just see God with that grip of life on me. And he's like, I will never let you go. I will never. I've got my grip of hold on you. I will never let you go. I love that. See, it's so good to know the word of God, because when you get the word of God in your well and life happens, you can dip down in your well and pull up the truth. And the truth will refute the lie. But some of you have believed the lie because you don't know the word of God and you don't have it in your well. So when the lie comes, you believe it. You're like, yeah, that must be true about me. Yeah, they always say that about me. But when you have the spirit of truth in you and you put the word of God in you, when stuff comes at you or when it doesn't come at you, you can pull it up at any time, and truth will always refute a lie. And the word of God is the truth. So there's so much good that happens in your life when you start to renew your mind and you think the way God thinks about you and you get the word of God way down deep in your spirit. So then he says to the divorced, I'm renaming you. And he says this, the Lord is your husband. The word of God says the Lord is your husband. Now, I'm going to speak to the single ladies. Single ladies, raise your hand. Single ladies. Okay. I was single for a long time, asked him. And he heard my woes. God, Tim, is God ever going to bring a man in my life? He always encouraged me. Pastor Tim always encouraged me. But I tell you, I was 32 when I got married. I almost missed it twice. I was engaged twice. I'm telling you, girls, that's the one area you can miss so easily if you're not listening to the voice of the Lord. And it is the most important decision next to salvation. It is the most important decision of your life, who you marry. Because you can either live the rest of your life in hell or you can live in heaven on earth, depending on the choice you make. I have a whole series on for single women. But I will say this. I always filled my spirit with the word of God concerning my single life. I wanted to honor the Lord, and I said, this body is going to honor you. I am not going to give this body to any man. He's not going to get the milk before he buys the cow, okay? He's not getting it, okay? When you give me this ring, you get all this. But until that day, you don't get this. And I was really adamant about that. And you need to draw lines, girls, because I'll just be very honest with you. Any man you sleep with before you get married, it will always end in hate. It never ends in love. Never. Very rarely does it work out when you sleep with them before you get married. It just doesn't. Because they already got the whole package. What do they need to commit for? Why do they need to give you their heart? They already got what they wanted. Okay? So draw the line. Draw it hard and hold it. And find somebody else that'll hold it with you. And you stand together as two girls, believing God for godly men and to be pure and holy, to be able to present yourself to them on that day. Also, girls, I want to encourage you. Listen hard at this. Because the Lord says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing, right? He's searching for you. Know that he is searching for you. And your focus is to be a good thing, not to just be running around being aggressive, trying to make it happen, trying to be something that you're not. Just be you and be the best you that you can be. Okay, if you need to lose 10 pounds, lose them. Because I'll be honest, let's just be honest, girls. Guys are wired to see you first before they fall in love with you. They see you first. So it's important that you be your best. Whatever your best is, I work hard not to gain weight. I have to. It's just part of the way I was made. I'm not a skinny mini that just doesn't have to think about food. You know, I dream about food. I love food. I could eat dessert all day, never eat food. I love sugar. I don't need food. I just need sugar. That's all I need. So I have to work on that. You know, and it's important to my husband, even though I am married, it's very important to him how we look, because not only because of what we do, but just healthy, so we can run the course all the way to the end. I mean, when we're 90, we're going to be ministering the gospel, so we need to have bodies that work till then, you know? So it's a commitment of us both that we work out, that we eat right as best we can. But single girls, don't be mad at the guys because they look at you first, before they get to know you. That's the way they're wired. God made them that way. So look your best. Be the good thing that he's looking for. That's your part. He's looking for you. Be the good thing. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Okay, so that's all I'm going to say. So the Lord is your husband. Before and after you are married, the Lord is your husband. Before and after you're married, the Lord is your husband. He is still my first love. And I have another one, Jesus with skin, called Juan. But the Lord is my first. I still run to him. He is my first love. I still depend on him for my provision. I don't put all the pressure on my husband to provide. I'm believing God. I'm sowing. I'm doing my part that I can to bless the family and do the things that we want to do. Countries that we want to go to, we're pulling together in our faith. I don't put it all on him. Man can only handle so much. They need support. That's what we're called. We're called the helpmate. We stand alongside and help them. You got to find a man with vision. If he doesn't have a job, doesn't have a car, doesn't have any money, run. Run hard. Run. Okay? Because you are made to support the man. But the man has to have vision that you can support. Okay? He's got to have vision for his life. If he's expecting you to do it all, that's not vision. You're going to kill each other, most likely. Okay? So you got to know what you're believing for, and you got to be what you're believing for. Because that's what you're going to attract to you. Got it? Girls, you got it? Really important that you are the kind of woman that kind of man is looking for. Okay? If you're looking for Brad Pitt, but you're not Angelina Jolie, whatever, how are you going to attract Brad Pitt? You know, so, and I'm telling, you know, there's a lot of good-looking Brad Pitts out there, but they don't have any vision for their life. They don't know where they're going. They're just living off their looks. Well, everything goes south after a while. So you just need to look for the heart that God has for you and develop your heart to be what you are looking for. Does that make sense? Okay, so let's move on. Unwanted, the label of unwanted. He calls you chosen. You're no longer unwanted. You're chosen. He said, I picked you out. I call you my friend. Jesus chose you. He picked you out. He adopted you. He put his favor on you. No longer rejected, but accepted in him. He said, I've accepted you. His acceptance, I don't know about you, but acceptance in my home was based on if I did everything right, then I was good with my dad. You know, if I got my homework done, my room was clean, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da. It was just this big, long list. Then I felt accepted. But I realized when I came to the Lord and I read that scripture, you've already been accepted in the Beloved. It's not based on what you did, it's based on what he did. That set me so free because I wasn't living life to perform for God. If I do everything right, then I'll feel good with God. No, he's thrilled about you. You're the best thing since sliced bread. He loves you. He thinks you hung the moon. He loves you. He's excited about you. He is thrilled with you. He's head over heels in love with you. And when you understand that, it makes you live a different life. You'll put value on yourself, and you won't be sleeping around. You won't be giving yourself up easily to anybody or anything or getting addicted to things. Okay, so here's the last one. Abused. He calls you healed. Healed emotionally, healed spiritually, healed physically. Everywhere you've been bruised by words or by fist, he can heal those places. Every time, I know that there's things that happen behind closed doors that a lot of us never know happen to people in this room. You'd be surprised if we had you come up and share your story. You'd be appalled at some of the things you hear. But I know those things go on, but I know that there is one whose name is above all names. And the final one, he says, you are no what? You are my beloved. My beloved. There's a scripture in Song of Solomon 2, verse 4, if you have that. Song of Solomon, it says this, he has brought me to his banqueting place. His banner, his label over me is what? Love. Waving overhead to protect me and comfort me. Isn't that good? His banner over me is love. He rejoices over me. You will always return back to the place that you were loved. Always. This is a house of love. This is a good house. You come to this house, I know you're going to experience the love of God in this house. If you have been missing love, this is a good place to come every Sunday. Every time these doors are open, you should be here to receive more and understand more the love that God has for you. Thank you. You can give me all those without killing yourself. So, there we go. There you go. So all these labels, does anybody identify with some of this? Maybe I didn't name your label, but somewhere You had a label placed on you at a very young age. Many things that happen to us from ages 1 to 20, they really affect us for the rest of our life. And God wants you free from those experiences. When I talk about Kim before age 8, I don't even know her. I don't remember her, you know, because I'm so free from what happened. But the accuser of the brethren, he loves to come. And I want you to picture up here for just a second. Like this was a courtroom. And, you know, all at the end of time, we're going to stand before the great throne and in judgment. And, you know, those that have the righteous nature are going to stand before him, Almighty God. And he's going to look at us and he's going to see us robed in righteousness. He's going to see us washed in the blood of Jesus. He's not going to see our sin, and he's going to go, well done, good and faithful servant. But the ones that stand before him that have never received him, that have always rejected him, never received his nature, it's going to be a very bad day. But I want to tell you, there's one that is always accusing you, always standing before the great throne. And I just want you to picture here, over here is Jesus, who is your advocate, your lawyer. And over here is the accuser. And he comes and he's trying to put all these labels on you and tell the judge, God, what you've done. And he's got a list. He always has a list that he loves to. Hold on. And he's standing before the throne right here. Picture the throne of God, and God is on the throne. And the advocate, the accuser comes and he says, look what she's done. Here's all the things she's done. Here's her life. Why should she be forgiven? Why should she get a free ride? Why should she be marked innocent and not guilty? Look at all the things that she's done. But then the advocate, Jesus, he comes and he says, I paid the price for her. I paid the price, the ultimate price. I had some tape up here. Anyway. And all that has ever taken place has been placed on the cross. I'm not holding it against her any longer. All of it's been placed on the cross. Somebody come help me. There you go. These guys are good. There you go. Okay. So all the things that has ever taken place in her life, Jesus covered it. Jesus took care of it. I want to show it to you in a scripture in Colossians 3, 13 and 14. We're going to read it together because something significant happened on that day. That was a glorious day for you, but a hellish day for Jesus. He paid a great price. It was painful, but he looked past the pain to where he could see this. And he said, when you were dead in your sins and your uncircumcised flesh, your worldliness, your manner of life, God made you alive. We sang that tonight together. God made you alive together in Christ, having freely forgiven us all. Everybody say, all our sin. Having canceled out with the certificate of death that was consisting of legal demands. See, the accuser has the right to say, she needs to pay for this. She did this. In a court of law, if you did it, you had to pay the price for it. But Jesus, he said he canceled it. He wiped it out. You know what he did? He covered it. He erased it. Every legal demand where it was forced against us, in which we were hostile to us. And this certificate has set us he has set aside, completely removed by nailing it to the cross. Jesus took it. He took every legal decree, every accusation, everything that you should have paid the penalty for, he took it on the cross. And his blood dripped all the way down your list so that your list can't even be recognized, can't even be read, can't be held against you. He took every label that was placed on you by life, by circumstance, or by yourself putting those labels on you. He took every single one of them and nailed them to the cross. And he no longer looks at you through your list, and he no longer looks at you by your labels. He looks at you by the blood of Jesus that set you free. That is a revelation that you must get way down deep in your spirit, because from this revelation is where you live. You live in victory. You live above circumstances and not beneath. You're able to say no to sin and yes to God. You're able to say no to drugs, no to alcohol, no to sex, no to depression. It doesn't let any of those dark things have a hold on you, because he sees you through the eyes of love. He sees you through the eyes of the blood of Jesus that was shed for you. That is amazing. That revelation is amazing. And when you get that, then everything you do, every decision you make, it's through that, what he did for you. Listen, girls that are single, you need to find somebody that you can hold yourself accountable. And when you start to have a relationship, you need to submit it to a pastor or to a leader or to somebody that knows you well and knows your life, because it's so easy to be deceived in that area of your life. And if you will submit your relationship to somebody and not try to hide it and not try, well, you know, I'm going to bring him to church, he's going to get saved. Girls, don't play that game. Don't play that game. Very rarely, it does happen sometimes, I've seen it, but very rarely is there a total turnaround in that man's. You need to see it before you get deep into that relationship. He needs to walk with God on his own, by himself, not subject to you watching him. You need to see the fruits of his commitment, and that takes time. That will not be a month. It will take time. Good 6 months to a year before you really start to see the fruit of consistent righteous living in his life. You need to see how he treats the waitress at the restaurant, because how he treats the waitress is how he's going to treat you. Hey, get me my food. Yeah. So you need to see how that man does. I don't know why I keep going back to the single girls, but there must be a lot in here. But I want you to get the revelation here of how the blood of Jesus has covered everything that has ever come against you. Every accusation of the enemy, every circumstance, every event that took place when you were growing up, he's completely cleared and permanently erased all of those things against you. Isn't that good news? Come on, you can give God a hand for that one. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, you set us free. Every man's label, every life label, every self-imposed label, he took it on the cross, and it no longer is held against you. That is good news. So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to break the power of those words over you. We're going to break the power of those things. You know, somebody just, if you don't mind, just be real. Just yell out maybe a label that I haven't thought of, or a word that was spoken over you or called. Anybody got one they just want to share? Just say it out. Just a bunch of you, just say it. This helps you. Weak. You're weak. Okay? Somebody else. Low self-esteem. Yeah, that's a big one. Somebody else. No common sense. How about you'll never amount to anything? You'll never be any good. You'll never finish school. You're stupid. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never go to college. No common sense. That's a good one. Anybody else? Anybody? It's good to identify it. I want you to think. That's why I'm trying to get you to think. Say it out loud. What else? It's revealing, isn't it? Anybody else? Obnoxious. Yeah. Anybody else? It's good. Anybody else? It's good to just say it out loud. Yeah. Yep, I was called that. Didn't like that one very much either. Yep. Anybody else? Too sensitive. There you go. You wear your emotions on your sleeve. And I can do nothing. I can say nothing to you because it's going to hurt you, right? You know, it's just too hard to talk to you. It's too hard to interact with you because you're too sensitive. Good one. Anybody else? Irresponsible. It's not true. You get dressed every day, brush your teeth, put on your deodorant. That's responsible. Those are good things. You're responsible. There's areas in your life, of course, we can grow in. But if you're always being that, called that, thinking of that, then why would you want to be responsible? See how the cycle goes? It's like, well, I'm already known for that, so why should I be responsible? What else? Say it.
Selfish.
Yep. Controlling. Okay. Sick. Sick in your head, your heart, your body. Sick body. You're always sick. You know, people start to just reiterate. If there's something going on in their life, they just keep saying it and saying it and saying it, and then that cycle never stops. That's true. He calls you healed. Amen. Who else? Speak it out.
Angry.
He said, I've come to give you joy. Abundant. What else?
Harsh.
The Word of God says that He's given you a soft and kind word in your mouth. See how, if you have the word in your heart, then it will just come up. And when those words are spoken by someone else, even if you don't say them back, because you don't want to use the word to slash people, you know, that doesn't produce anything. But you can slash the enemy that's behind the words, and you can say, you know what? I have a soft answer in my mouth at all times. I am not harsh. I am not crude or rude or backbiting. I have a soft answer on my lips at all times. That's what it says about the wise and the righteous. What else?
Retarded.
Wow, that's a harsh one. What a lie from the enemy. What a lie from the pit. We're going to break that because that's not a good one. None of these are good. None of these produce anything. They don't move you to do anything good. It's just bringing you down, pressing you down. I've always heard, I had a friend that she always suffered with deep depression. And people would always say, you always seem so depressed. You ever hear that one? You always seem so depressed. What's wrong with you? And she just took on, yeah, I'm depressed. And she'd get more and more and more and more. Because it just weighs, that's that way the enemy works. He's an oppressor. But Jesus is a deliverer. One that sets you free, lightens your load. He said, my burden is easy, my yoke is light. He doesn't want to put pressure on you. God deals with you in love, not harsh words. Anybody else? Not enough. Anything you do is never enough. Like that? Yeah. So that doesn't make you want to do anything more, does it? Doesn't move you to do anything more? Because you just feel like, oh, whatever I do is never enough. See how the enemy works? I'm sure that some of you are hearing these and going, yep, that's the one yep. See, we all have the same thing going on all the time. But we're going to break that right now. I'd like for the band to come up. Before the band comes up, I'm going to hand it to Miss Rita for a minute. Renee. The band can come up. And we're going to, how many of you have received from the Lord tonight? You received some kind of wisdom. Something has hit your heart tonight. Because it's so important that I'm going to give you an opportunity to give. I don't want anybody to leave, okay, because the night is not over. The best part of the night is about to happen. Okay? So nobody leave. Please just give honor to the Lord. But the measure that you have received tonight, it's important that you give to the Lord and you show Him. Your offering gets God's attention. And you're saying, oh, she's talking about money again. No, I'm not. I'm trying to get something into you. So hear me for a minute. Don't look at what they're doing. Hear me for a minute. Your offering is a significant memorial to the Lord tonight, saying, Lord, I want to be free from every label that has been placed on me. And I'm giving back to you what I have received tonight. I'm giving back to you as an honor to him. As an honor to him. Your offering speaks of what you want to take place in your life. There was a man named Cornelius. He was a God-fearing man, had a God-fearing family. But he was missing something in it. He was missing the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life. And he was praying 4 days in a row at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And on the fourth day, an angel appeared to him and said, call for this man named Peter, who's living in this house of a tanner in Joppa. And he's going to come and tell you and give you something. Because Cornelius, I have heard your prayers and I have seen your offering. Now, why did God say that? Cornelius, I have heard your prayers and I've seen your offering. When you give your offering, it's attached to your heart, right? Our money is our treasure. Where your treasure is, where your heart is. So it's hard earned. But when you give it to the Lord gladly, it unleashes something in your life. I can't explain it. It doesn't make sense up here, but it is just a principle of God. So I don't care if you give a dollar tonight. Give something tonight as a memorial about of what is about to happen in your life. I don't care if you don't have a dollar, take the button off your shirt and put it in the offering. Just give something as a significant memorial to the Lord that, Lord, you have given me so much. Here's my little token. But it is significant because it's from my heart. Are you with me? And then I'm going to pray and we're going to break those labels and those things off of your life tonight. And I believe that when you walk out of this place, you're not going to be the same. Ms. Renee? Please stay in an attitude of prayer as you give.
Thank you, Father. It's interesting. She talked about your offering, and I was thinking the scripture the Lord was giving me that said, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show for this is all surpassing power is from God and not from us. So in Galatians 6:6, it says, let him who receives instruction on the word of God share all good things with his teacher, contributing to the support. So I thank you, Father, for the treasure that you've placed in each vessel that sits in this place tonight. I pray, God, that they take the word and implant it on their heart, and that, Lord, that out of their treasure of the goodness of their heart, God, that they would sow into the things that they want to receive and to give back to the teacher, the one who gives them the instruction, the word of God. So, Father, I just pray that you speak to each lady, each person here tonight, Father. If you're making out a check, just make it out to Restoration Church, and that you think in your heart, even for an instant, Lord, what is it that you want me to give out of my good treasure? And Lord, I just want to thank you in advance for what you're going to do, not just tonight, but for all the days that will precede tonight, and that you will hold them as a memorial, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father.
Amen. Give joyfully tonight because he's given great things for you tonight. I would like for everybody, as we pass the buckets, just everybody get in an attitude of prayer. I'm going to ask my prayer team. I've asked Pastors Tim and Krista to give me some people that will help me in prayer. If they would come up at this time and just stand across the front, those people, just come. This is a holy moment. If we could turn down the lights a little bit, that'd be great. This is a holy moment. We're here for the rest of the night to pray for you. Whatever you need, please don't leave here the same way you came in, because God is offering you a way out tonight. He's offering you a way to get free from all of those things that have bound you for years, that have labeled you for years and have kind of dictated your character. But God says, like with Jacob, contend with me. Contend for a new nature, a new beginning, a new start in your life. If there's anybody in this room, every eye closed, every head bowed right now, if there's anybody in this room where you have never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, now is the moment where it's perfect timing, because he's been longing to have a relationship with you. He's been wanting to introduce himself to you, but he needs you to just say, Jesus, I need you. If you're here tonight and you just say, Pastor Kim, I don't know Jesus like you do, but I want to. I want to know him. I want to feel that forgiveness. I want to have relationship with him. If that's you tonight, just raise your hand and wave at me. Everybody else's eyes are closed. Just wave at me. Amen. Anybody else? Thank you for being bold. Anybody? Anybody else in the room that you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior tonight? This is the perfect night, the perfect moment. He's calling you. He's calling you right now. He's been longing. He's been chasing after you. Just picture somebody chasing right after you. And if you'll just turn around, you'll run right into him. That's him. That's his nature. He's been chasing you for all eternity to have a relationship with you. Anybody else? Anybody else want to receive the Lord tonight? Would you come and meet me right here? Anybody else? What's your name? Everybody in this room, just bow your heads and say these words. Look at me for a second. Give me your other hand. Say these words with me. Jesus, I need you. Please forgive me for the times I've rejected you. I come to you right now and I bring all my sin, all the times that I missed walking with you, I lay it down at your feet and I receive your forgiveness. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God and you died on the cross for me. Today, write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for cleansing me. I'm forgiven. Look at me for a second. You are forgiven. Isn't that good? You're forgiven. He doesn't hold anything against you. He sees you through that cross. You're precious. You can take a napkin there. Bless your heart. God is good. Stay here for a minute. I'm going to pray for you. Ladies, just turn the lights down a little bit more. Ladies, let's all stand right now. Just give God honor. The band is going to sing lightly, but we're here. Each and every person up here, right here, is ready to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you as a corporate group right now. And then if you want individual prayer, you need strength. You need just someone to agree with you about things that are going on in your life, or you need to be specific about forgiving someone in your life. These people are here to pray for you. But let's just pray right now. I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that Jesus' sacrifice was enough for us, that he cleansed us from all unrighteousness. He cleansed us from every label. He removed the list of accusations that were rightfully ours, the things that we did that were abominations unto you. Father, Jesus' blood has covered those things. Everybody just raise your hands to the Lord right now. And in your hands, I want you to see every label that has been put upon you. And you just hold it up before the face of God. and you have your face-to-face encounter with him right now, and you say, Jesus, take every label off of me right now. Remove every yoke. Remove every burden that was placed on me through actions, through circumstances and events, through people, through myself that I placed on myself. I remove them by the blood of Jesus right now. I take the sword of the Spirit and I cut every label off of me right now in Jesus' name. I take the sword of the Spirit and every accusation, every finger that was pointed to me, every word that was spoken against me to degrade me, to pull me down, to destroy my worth. In the name of Jesus, I take off those labels. I take them off of me. I remove them from around my neck, the yoke that's been placed upon my neck, the labels that have been labeled across my brain. And right now, in Jesus' name, I remove them once and for all, free, free, free. I remove them in Jesus' name. And I forgive the people that have spoken those words over me. Now, right now, if you need to forgive someone by name, say their name out loud. Just say it to the Lord. I forgive so-and-so. I forgive so-and-so. I forgive my mom when she said this. I forgive my dad when he did this. I forgive my brothers, my uncles, my cousins, people at school, teachers, bosses, peers, whatever. I forgive them right now. Forgive them by name. There's something powerful with the act of forgiveness. It releases you from the prison that you put yourself in by holding offense. They've not been suffering. You've been suffering. Let them go right now. Let them go. Let it go. If you need extra prayer, come up to someone right now that is up here. They are ready to pray for you. This is your moment. Don't wait. Be bold. Be bold. Draw a line in the sand. Let the devil know you're not going to hold this over my head any longer from this day. You're not going to hold that situation over my head. You're not going to be able to bring that guilt, that shame upon me ever again. It's over. It's like somebody else that you're talking. It's not me. I don't identify with that person anymore. Come up right now. This is your moment. This is your moment. Come up right now and get the release that is due. It is your rightful place. One of the benefits of being in the kingdom of God is forgiveness, cleansing. Let it go right now. Tell them what you need to let go. Anybody else, come. As the prayer warriors get released, then you can go. The next person can come. Father, we thank you. Worship you, we honor you, we give you the glory of what you're doing in the lives of each and every one of these women. We know it's not an accident that you brought them to this place tonight. And we thank you, Father God, that you're sealing the deal. You're sealing this message by the Holy Spirit. And that the enemy will not be able to come in this week and steal the word that was sown in their hearts tonight in the name of Jesus. I declare that this word is sealed by the Holy Spirit. And the enemy, when he tries to come in like a standard, like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard against him. And we silence the voice of the enemy that's trying to come against us every day. And we declare that the word of God that is within our being will rise up and speak truth to our mind and speak truth to our hearts. Father, we love you. We bless you. We thank you for this awesome privilege. We thank you, Lord, that you were here tonight and that you ministered to us, that you dealt with us gently. We love you tonight. If you're still needing prayer, the ladies are available. If you'd like to make yourself available to the refreshments back there, they have some goodies for you. If you just want to stay and worship, you can do that too. I'd love to sing that first song. Jeez, what was it? The very first song.
The very, very first one.
Can we do that one?
Yeah. Hey, Chris.
We're just going to sing one more song, and then we're going to have cookies. Let's sing that first song together if we can. Need to leave happy. Do you guys have a good time tonight? God is good, good, good. He's good. He's nothing but good. He has only good for you. Amen? So we're going to sing one more happy song before we go and eat. Next time we have a ladies' meeting, bring your friends. It's a good place. This is a good church. It's a good place to grow. We're going to worship the Lord one more time. Oh, sorry. Caught you off guard.
That's okay.
You're ready in season and out. Let's just give the Lord a hand because he's so good to us tonight. Father, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you for all that you've done in us and are doing through us. Father, we want to be an extension of your hand, extension of your life, that people see you in our eyes, they hear you in our voice, they feel you in our touch. This city needs hope, and we want to be the vessels that bring hope to St. Joseph. We ask, Lord God, that you would use these women as they are healed, that they would share their testimonies with other women and other women would receive that healing as well. Thank you, Lord God, for the anointing that rests on every person in this house. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit RestorationSTJ.com or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.